This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Friday. Glenwood Springs High School is closed today. The Roaring Fork School District announced the unexpected closure last night, saying the district would not be able to maintain student safety due to significant staff absences. A school district official said they believe the majority of absences are related to a coordinated national protest against increased immigration enforcement in Minneapolis. Protest organizers are calling for people across the country to skip work, school, and refrain from shopping to demonstrate their disapproval. A rally to, quote, stand with immigrants and stand in solidarity with Minneapolis will be held in Glenwood Springs on Grand Avenue at 4 p.m. Eagle County Sheriff's Office says a traffic stop last week led to the seizure of narcotics and the rescue of 17 roosters. The Sheriff's Office says a Granite Drug Task Force detective was patrolling I-70 and pulled a vehicle over for a traffic violation. Law enforcement reportedly noticed signs of criminal activity, and an investigation led to the discovery of illegal narcotics, a, quote, large amount of U.S. currency, 17 roosters, and various blades and equipment consistent with cockfighting. The sheriff's office says the roosters are now undergoing intake and evaluation at a local rooster sanctuary. Three individuals who were in the car have been charged with unspecified crimes. Only one in five women in our region who want hormone therapy actually get it. That's according to a new survey of 1,000 women in Arizona, Utah, and Colorado. As Aspen Public Radio's Sarah Torrey reports, longstanding alternative treatments aren't always as effective.
Hormone replacement therapy used to be more common. Until the early 2000s, doctors regularly prescribed hormones to women struggling with menopause symptoms, like hot flashes, mood changes, and disrupted sleep. That stopped when an influential study found a slight increase in the risk of breast cancer and cardiovascular disease for women using estrogen and progesterone to treat menopause. Scientists now say that interpretation was flawed, but many doctors are still wary of prescribing hormones. Victoria Glickman-Hodgkins is the CEO and founder of Inflection Health. It offers menopause and perimenopause care to women in the Mountain West via telehealth appointments. Hodgkins says the reticence to prescribe hormones can actually be harmful in its own way.
This is not a good sign when women are prescribed like a low-dose antidepressant when really hormone replacement therapy would be safer and more effective longer term.
According to the American Medical Women's Association, expanding telehealth services can help improve access to specialized menopause resources and treatment. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Sarah Torrey.
In the coming months, Carbondale will complete an inventory of the community's greenhouse gas emissions and begin a home energy assessment program. There are two initiatives undertaken by Clear Energy Economy for the Region, or CLEAR, with the goal of getting Carbondale to net zero building emissions by 2050. Carbondale's CLEAR representative, Emily Williams, presented to the town's board on Tuesday. She said the voluntary residential assessment will involve simple requests for new water customers.
To take some pictures of their electric panel and their water heating and hopefully makes that a low lift for residents, but then we can provide outreach for folks who might be a good candidate to, say, install a heat pump and other upgrades.
Part of CLEAR's role is to connect residents with resources and programs that subsidize energy upgrades. Williams said one of CLEAR's big accomplishments in 2025 was helping the town adopt new building codes with stricter energy efficiency requirements. This year, CLEAR plans to explore the potential of capturing heat from the town's wastewater plant and provide guidance on including ground source heat pumps in new developments. In statewide news, Democrats in the state legislature are proposing some additions to Colorado's gun regulations. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Lucas Brady Woods reports one bill would expand the state's red flag law.
Also called extreme risk protection orders, red flag laws allow judges to temporarily remove someone's guns if they pose a threat. The bill would expand the list of who can petition for such an order. It would include institutions like schools or hospitals. The bill would also allow guns to be removed if a child poses a safety risk. Here's bill sponsor Senator Tom Sullivan.
Gun deaths are happening by suicides and domestic violence, which is a number one thing that we can do with an extreme risk protection order. Temporarily remove firearm from someone who's going to be a danger to themselves or other.
Another bill would require gun barrels to be sold by licensed firearm dealers in person to buyers who can legally purchase guns.
That was Lucas Brady Woods for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. A proposal to defend science-based vaccine recommendations in Colorado and push back against the new federal vaccine standards cleared its first hurdle at the State House yesterday. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
The bill to promote immunization access is Democratic state lawmakers' answer to the Trump administration's changes to vaccine policy. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention defied vaccine science earlier this month and slashed the number of recommended routine childhood vaccines. Senate Bill 32 would require Colorado to adopt the more comprehensive science-based vaccine guidance of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Democratic Senator Kyle Mulica, a registered nurse, sponsored the bill.
What we're doing here with this bill is we are insulating our state from the dysfunction coming out of Washington. In this state, we're going to rely on science.
The proposal would also allow pharmacists to prescribe and administer vaccines and expand liability protections for providers. The bill passed the Senate Health Committee on a party line vote. Opponents say it would interfere with parental choice and hurt children.
That was Ray Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And in regional news, governors from the Colorado River Basin are headed to Washington today for high-stakes talks with the Interior Department about the waterway's future. As KUNC's Scott Franz reports, seven states remain at an impasse over how to share the dwindling river.
Pressure is building for negotiators to come up with a plan. Forecasts for the water supply this spring are dropping as snowpack lags in the west. Colorado's negotiator, Becky Mitchell, says talks among states are continuing at least twice a week, but there are still sticking points.
Some in the lower basin wanted some sort of guaranteed supply, irrespective of hydrologic conditions. And I think asking people to guarantee something that cannot be guaranteed, it just is a recipe that to not get to success.
Lower basin states are calling for mandatory cuts for the upper basin during dry years. Negotiators have less than 3 weeks before a federal deadline to reach an agreement.
That was KUNC's Scott Franz reporting for the Mountain West News Bureau. Tribes across the country are worried about funding cuts to essential services. But in Wyoming, state lawmakers recently reversed a proposed cut to tribal Medicaid funding. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Hannah Haberman reports.
Earlier this month, the Joint Appropriations Committee voted to deny a $58 million request from the Wyoming Department of Health for federal funding for tribal Medicaid reimbursements. The move was met with pushback and protest. But this week, Representative John Baer told the Tribal Relations Committee those funds will come through.
I just want to make it really clear that the funding was never, ever in jeopardy. These are accounting issues that we're trying to work through.
Baer is the co-chair of the Joint Appropriations Committee. He originally voted for the cut, but this week said there was a workaround with what's called a B-11, which he hadn't mentioned in the original meeting.
Then they get the reimbursement after the activity is taken care of for the tribal member.
Now, Baer says the committee will authorize the funding for the Department of Health before the session starts. But at current reimbursement rates, that'll be more like $41 million rather than $58 million. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.